The following program is brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, and the views and opinions may not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station. Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, could it be that you caught that cold from someone in the boarding line at the airport? A recent study says it's entirely possible. And what's the dirtiest thing in your hotel room? Details coming up.
When you travel, every hour is valuable. Our friend and travel expert Ed Perkins explains how you should value your waking hours on vacation. It's an interview we had with Ed a couple of years ago, and we think it one of the most interesting concepts we've ever heard. Coming up at 3:20, our Smarter Traveler segment.
At 3:35, we talked to Amy and Stuart Lewis. Now, if you remember, we talked to them before they went to Europe on a trip they planned themselves. Now it's post-trip, and time to find out if the do-it-yourself travel plans worked out okay.
At 3:50, we talked to road reporter Ramona Gooch about her favorite destination, British Columbia. Her hottest journeys include viewing bears in their natural habitat and taking travelers off the beaten track to places that are truly special.
It's Sunday in Sacramento. Much of our beautiful California is still burning. Time for a short break from the news of the day. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
On the road again, just can't wait to get on the road again.
I got two tickets to paradise
to
run
to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
Welcome, everyone. It's another beautiful Sunday here in Sacramento. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano here on the radio with you. We are the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for taking a few minutes to join us. And don't forget now, you can follow along with our radio program, and links to the things we talk about are at TravelGuysRadio.com. And a good afternoon to you, Mark, my buddy.
Good afternoon to you, sir, from upstate New York.
All right. What's going on upstate New York for you and the Sports Leisure Vacationers?
Well, just a little while ago this afternoon, we made a visit. We were on a mystery tour, Tom. You know, we talk about those from time to time. And we started out in Rochester. We're working our way through upstate New York and seeing and doing a lot of interesting things. And earlier today, we went through Bethel Woods, New York. And the reason that would be significant, not known necessarily as Bethel Woods, but known as Woodstock. Almost 5 decades ago.
Wow. Okay. As you made the journey, were there signs and special things? Especially since this is kind of the summer of love in San Francisco, and I'm sure the Woodstock thing is certainly a kind of a part of that.
Right. Well, they're only a couple years away from their 50th anniversary of their event. The whole Woodstock area has been turned into a concert facility and a state park. So there's a visitor center with an opportunity to go through and relive the Woodstock days, and of course a gift shop that will be happy to sell you a Woodstock T-shirt if you didn't get one when you were there 48 years ago. But so it's a blast from the past kind of thing to go there and see the place that that it was so crowded they had to helicopter the performers in, because the traffic was so awful, they couldn't get the bands and stuff into the site, so they had to helicopter them in. But anyway, that was kind of fun, and we made a visit to West Point, toured where the cadets are going to school, so that was kind of interesting. So I took a drive through Cornell University yesterday, so we are having a good time.
Well, awesome. Well, all right, moving along, lots to cover today on the Travel Guys, and at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on the travel news. So with that, Mark, what's the latest in the travel news?
Hey, it's the Lewis program today. Huey Lewis with the news, and Amy and Stuart coming to us
I didn't think
later
of that.
On. All right. Yeah, not too bad. Hey, listen, we said this in the headlines. If you're intent on staying healthy, you might want to avoid commercial airline flights, or actually, it's the boarding of airline flights. According to a new study by Arizona State University, the current industry boarding practice, loading passengers according to class by zone, is the worst possible approach to filling an airplane from a health standpoint.
Ew.
The reason it is so poor is it forces passengers to stand together in the boarding area for a long period of time before they can get on the airplane. So you have all of these people packed in a very tiny, I guess I never thought about this before, but the chances of getting something from 30 or 40 people who are standing around you are actually greater than the chances of catching something when you're on the airplane.
Well, you know, I think most people wouldn't think of that because you're still in the terminal and you're, you know, you've got terminal air. If that's that sounds a little strange, but at any rate, your air that's not necessarily being recirculated inside of an aluminum tube. So most people would think, I know that's how I would think, that being in the plane and the recirculated air would be where the germs are. But those are the numbers, huh? So if I'm going to wear my little protective mask. I need to start in the boarding area and not necessarily wait until I get on the plane then.
Yes, yes. People will look at you even stranger if you wear that mask in the boarding area. Speaking of airlines here, we got a couple of other things. Southwest Airlines announced, of course, this last week something that is no longer big news. They are flying to Hawaii.
Aloha.
They haven't announced which cities yet will be served from California or perhaps other nearby states. Or, of course, this is a five-hour flight. Will Southwest break down and sell meals? What will prices be? When are tickets going to go on sale? When do the flights start? The only response that you'll find on the website is service details are going to be announced at a later date. We can tell you that Southwest Airlines is getting some brand new 737 long-distance planes that they plan to use on these routes. But the word on the street is that Southwest is so eager to start their Hawaii service that they're going to start it with some of the existing planes that they already have.
Oh, boy.
So it's possible that the Hawaii service could spring up as early as April or May of next year, but certainly sometime next year. I don't know if any of that service will come to Sacramento. We already have two nonstops to the islands every day, one to Maui and one to Honolulu. I don't know if there's room for a third flight in there, but I guess we'll find out. If
Mark,
nothing else, it means more flights to Hawaii.
Yeah, Mark. You fly to Hawaii, you know, kind of it would be considered frequently by most people.
Well, once a year,
Well, that's for most people's standards, that would be frequent. So with that being said, and you fly a lot of different airlines, would you, and I know you feel strongly about Southwest's friendly skies, but would you get on one of their standard planes with no first class and fly to Hawaii?
Yes. Let me tell you, that's a really timely question because I'm back here in New York State, and the way we got here was on Southwest Airlines. We flew the five-hour nonstop to Baltimore, which is pretty much almost to the minute equivalent of what it's going to take you to get to Hawaii.
Yeah.
I will just tell you, the Southwest people, the service on Southwest planes is better than it is on any other airline. The attitude is better. The staff's attitude on Southwest planes is better. The customer's attitude on Southwest planes is better. They had people laughing, and they were serving us beverages and bringing around snacks and basically telling you to take as many as you want. Everybody on the plane had 2 more inches of legroom. Yes, there was no first class section, so you couldn't, you know, hope for that coveted upgrade to the forward cabin if you were a frequent traveler. But Tom, I just have to tell you, based on this experience in the last few days of flying Southwest, it is easier to take a 5-hour flight on a Southwest plane in coach than it is on other airlines because the atmosphere on the airplane is a lot friendlier.
Well, all right. You know what? I'm glad I asked that question. I feel strongly about Southwest and how they fly, but you know, I've always longed for that little extra room and kind of the special amenities that you get when you fly to the islands. But you know, the trade-off is worth it. Okay, back to the news.
All right. Disney hotels have previously not been all that pet friendly. I know that occasionally you like to travel with a mutt in tow.
Yes.
And well, at Disney World in Florida, for the first time ever, four Disney properties will be designated as dog friendly, including Disney's Art of Animation Resort, Disney's Port Orleans Riverside Resort, the Yacht Club, and the cabins at Disney's Fort Wilderness. All the dogs will receive a Pluto's welcome kit on arrival, which includes a mat, bowls, a pet ID tag, plastic disposable bags, puppy pads. What's a puppy pad? And a dog walking map. Also a Pluto Do Not Disturb door hanger to let staff know that there's a pet inside the room.
There you go. Yeah, puppy pads are kind of the indoor potty box for dogs. You just throw the little pad on them. And if you train them, then they just piddle on the pad. It's kind of a dry version of a kitty litter box.
Making me a smarter traveler right here. Anyways, there is going to be a fee for bringing a pet. And Disney has made some arrangements with Best Friends Pet Care to provide full-service pet daycare while you're off enjoying the theme parks because, of course, you can't leave the pet in the hotel room. There's going to be a charge for pets. And there will be, you know, a cleaning fee if you don't leave the place clean. But anyway, for dog lovers, I think this is good news. They can now take their dog on the road with them when they go to Disneyland. Here's something I found this interesting. Some people will find it gross. A JetBlue passenger who was on his way from Anchorage back to Portland slept through most of the three-hour flight and then got up and decided that, for whatever reason, the restroom was too far away and started doing his business between the seats.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's not even the worst part, Tom. The guy lost his balance while he was relieving himself, fell, and it kind of went
Okay.
When Flight 47 arrived in Portland, he was slumped in his seat and sleeping. He was met by two police officers. He was booked into the Multnomah County Detention Center, where urinals are readily available in all cells. He faces two misdemeanor charges of criminal mischief and offensive littering.
That's an interesting way to put it. Okay.
I'm sorry. I know it's gross and disgusting, but I thought it was kind of funny. Probably the people who it happened to didn't think it was funny. Listen, what's the dirtiest thing in your hotel room, do you think, Tom?
Well, let's see. I don't know. Let's just random. The phone.
The phone. Good guess. The coffee maker.
Oh.
Recently, the University of Valencia tested 9 different Nespresso machines that had been in use for at least 1 year. The report states all the machines revealed a significant bacterial diversity, bacteria, and it's not just the inside of the coffee maker that you have to worry about, but the outside. And the reason they say they are so dirty is because in order to get rid of all of the potential mold buildup stuff that's inside the machine, you need to clean it with vinegar every 3 months. They asked 3 leading hotel chains, which they didn't identify here, how often they cleaned their coffee makers and what they used to clean them. None of them cleaned them every 3 months, and none of them used any type of a vinegar solution. I might suggest to you that next time you check into a hotel with a coffee maker and a microwave, heat the water in the microwave before using the coffee maker.
Interesting. I just can't do the coffee makers anymore. Generally, and I think you'll find this to be true at a lot of places that you stay, where the elevator isn't very far away, and it seems that there is a Starbucks or equivalent a short walking distance from the elevator in most hotels these days.
Next week, Tom, we'll have to approach the story. You ever watch the animated cartoon Rick and Morty on Cartoon Channel?
I haven't.
You haven't?
No,
okay.
Cow and Chicken.
It's become the most popular animated cartoon program. Anyways, they mentioned on a program just recently an old McDonald's dipping sauce for McNuggets. There's a big story behind it. We'll save it for next week because I'm hoping there'll be some more developments. People are making road trips to get this McDonald's sauce.
Awesome. About that. Okay, what was the name of the show again?
Rick and Morty. It's on Cartoon Channel. You'll have to check it out.
Between now and then, I will check it out. See if I...
All right. Excellent. Finally, just to talk for a moment here at the end of the newscast about the whole fire situation up in Napa and Sonoma. Of course, that it's terribly tragic for those of us who are local, but you have to understand that the Napa Valley and the Sonoma Valley right now are arguably one of the top five tourism destinations on the planet. I mean, people are just gravitating to that area. So the fact that all of that destruction, we've lost some wineries, we've lost probably a pretty good part of a grape harvest this year because the fires came right at the peak of the harvest season. So if you don't, the folks in Napa and Sonoma area, really and truly, for those of us who live in Sacramento, if you don't have to go over there, don't be a looky-loo and go over and get in the way. Those people have got a lot of things to deal with right now. And what they really don't need is a bunch of folks over there. So let's give them some time to dig out a little bit, get the fires out and dig out, and then let's help them become the world-class tourism destination that they once were and will be again. And that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. And on the heels of your comments, Mark, when you hear people talking about that it's okay to go back and visit the Napa Valley and go to the wineries that are there and so forth, you know what? If you've been putting it off, when they say it's a good time to go back and support and buy and enjoy yourself and help bring that area back to life. All right, coming up in just about 3.5 minutes, we're going to bring on our buddy Ed Perkins. We're going to talk about how that when you are on vacation, your time is worth money, and how that equates and how you should best use it. This is some great information, and that's next on The Travel Guys. Welcome. You're tuned to The Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman to my left. I'm Tom Romano. And on the line, one of our favorite consumer reporters, Ed Perkins. Ed, welcome back to The Travel Guys.
Oh, it's always nice to talk to you guys.
Ed, last week you wrote a column on smartertravel.com, by the way, a website that we strongly recommend, especially for the amateur traveler, for the leisure traveler. Great place to pick up really good information. And it's smartertravel.com, and we talk here a lot about making you a smarter traveler. And you, on that website, you will be a smarter traveler if you're around there very long. Ed writes for Smarter Travel, and last week Ed wrote a column called The Hidden Travel Costs You Should Never Ignore. And Ed, you talked about how travel costs people. I thought it was very interesting. I'll allow you to explain.
Okay. I call it travel overhead. And that is simply the cost per hour of just being in a destination away from home. And I use a couple of examples there, but you have your airfare and you have your hotel costs. You will spend more per day on food than you would at home. And without even talking about any admissions to attractions or museums or anything like that, just being in a city away from home costs you money. I figured out two different trips, one for a couple people going from Little Rock to New York for 4 days, and another for two people from Chicago for a week in London. And in both cases, it turned out about the same, that just being in New York or London cost you almost $30 an hour per person. And for a couple, obviously, $60 an hour.
Does that include sleeping hours as well?
Well, no, this is okay. The point. No, these are useful sightseeing or activity hours.
$30 an hour. There you go.
And so the point being that a lot of times you are faced with a choice of do you spend more money or do you do something that takes more time? And I'm not advocating or suggesting that people always do everything the expensive way. Don't always take a taxi when you can ride a subway. But if the subway is going to take you an hour and the taxi is going to take you 15 minutes, remember that you're spending $30 an hour just being there wherever you are.
Isn't that fascinating, Tom? Until I read this article that Ed had written, I never, ever thought of travel that way. I think of it on a daily basis. You know, somebody buys a five-day tour from Sports Leisure Vacations, and it costs $2,000. It's $400 a day. I can translate that. But breaking it down into hours, I think, really helps people make decisions when they're out traveling. I mean, think about it, Tom, the example he just gave. If it's cost you $30 an hour to be there and you can save 45 minutes, that's $22 you've saved.
Well, I've put that into my vacation plans on more than one occasion when you're going to theme parks where you have to pay an admission fee and you're going to drive 12 hours or whatever to get there you could have, spent a little extra, fly down to wherever it is in an hour and a half or two, get your tickets and spend an extra 12 hours at your destination doing things. As Ed said, at $30 an hour versus that extra long trip. So, you know, I haven't ever done the math, but I'm aware of that, particularly when it comes to places where there is an admission and you do want to spend as much time at that destination enjoying what you're paying for.
Yes, and another corollary to that one is that if you're in a destination that offers an extra cost bypass the lines option, that's often a good idea if the option is spending, during the course of an eight-hour day, spending four of those hours waiting in line.
Using Ed's theory, if you're standing in line, you are wasting money. And I don't think it's just a theory. I think what you've pointed out here, Ed, is this is the cost of travel.
Yeah, it is.
And it's a cost of wasting time when you're traveling, and the cost of wasting time when you're traveling is actually quite expensive.
Yes, it is, particularly when you're talking about some place where you had to buy an airline ticket, or either individually or as a package. And it adds up to more than you would think, is the point of this column. And just to remind travelers that there is that kind of a cost trade-off, cost versus time trade-off, that they sometimes need to make when they're making a decision.
And I think that people do that on a regular basis in their everyday lives. I mean, people think about the time that it takes to do X, Y, Z, and how time these days is really more valuable than money. And I think that's really what you're pointing out here, Ed, is that time is really more valuable than money. And even when you're on vacation, and it shouldn't be, you might not be thinking about time as money, that really and truly time is money, maybe more on vacation than when you're sitting at home in the lounge chair at night watching the old reruns on TV. Ed, thank you again for your time, buddy, and for being a friend of the Travel Guys.
Ed Perkins, always thinking out of the box, always coming up with a different way of looking at how you spend your vacation money.
Tom, that is absolutely my favorite interview of all the time we have been doing this program, because I think it is just absolutely the most interesting. So thanks to our listeners for allowing us to share that with you again. Coming up after the news break here on KFBK, we're going to talk to Amy and Stuart Lewis about their trip to Europe. Did it go well? They planned it themselves. We'll find out right after the news.
Stay connected, stay informed. Sacramento's news, traffic, and weather. News Radio KFBK.
Welcome, everyone. It's another edition of the Travel Guys here on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, and two of our favorite guests have returned from their European vacation. Stuart Lewis and the infamous Amy Lewis, morning anchor for KFBK. Now, if you recall, when we spoke to them last, they were quite adventuresome. I mean, actually planning from start to finish their family vacation to Europe. And,
yeah.
And as Amy explained it, go ahead, Amy, tell our listeners once again, when your family puts something together, how it goes.
Okay, so what happened is that Stuart and I got together, and before when we've gone to Europe, we've used a travel planner. And this time we thought we would do it on our own. And my husband did most of the homework, right? You did, honey. Mm-hmm. You did most of the stuff. But I got my input. And so what we were going to do was go from Sacramento to New York, see a couple of Broadway shows, then go from New York to London, London to Edinburgh, Edinburgh to Paris, Paris back to London, London to New York, back to Sacramento. And while that sounded really easy, and like it was no problem at all. We were in 12 airports over the course of the, what,
Good
10
Lord.
Days? I know, yeah, Mark. It was so crazy. So you explain how that happened.
Well, you know, we had things. Honestly, the thing to do is drop a city out.
And yeah.
We keep
no,
talking
he's a planner.
About,
yeah, he's a, he's Mark.
Well, that's true. But, you know, spend more time in a location instead
yeah.
of saying, I got to see this now and this now and this now. And, you know, we added too many stops.
Yeah. So what we did is we went to New York. And we had a great time. We saw War Paint with Christine Ebersole and, oh my gosh, Patti LuPone. And it was fine. It was great. I mean, it wasn't incredible, but it was fine. We had a good time. But then we saw Bette Midler in Hello, Dolly. And Mark, if you have not seen her in that, and if she's still playing, it was incredible. It was like watching just an incredible Broadway musical. You know, it had every element you would want, and the colors were amazing, and we just had the best time there, yeah, huh?
Absolutely.
We are taking a group to see Hello, Dolly in a couple of months, and it doesn't look like I'm going to get to see it with Bette Midler, and it breaks my heart. And War Paint is closing, has turned out to be actually one of the, I wouldn't call it a flop necessarily,
yeah.
but it was a much anticipated show that didn't go there. Anyway, enough of the sidebar, back to the trip.
Yeah, okay.
So we flew into, we had to fly into London just because of the airline that we were taking at the time, and we had said the last time we were using a lot of points, which was beneficial.
Yeah.
So we had to have a quick stay in London, and then we flew up to Edinburgh, and that was fine.
We were there for Fringe Fest, which was pretty incredible. That is basically where anybody whose entertainment is on the drive.
What's the Royal Mile.
Yeah.
High Street, you know, from jugglers to comedians to
full-on actors,
shows,
yeah.
in you know, in theaters or
from the
on
street,
the street.
Into the, yeah, it was incredible.
It's the 70th, I think the 70th. Anniversary. It was fabulous.
So that
now,
was a lot of fun.
Now when you made your own reservations and your own flights and booked it all out,
so
now what information can you give to our listeners to say, we did this
yeah.
right and we didn't do this
well,
right?
Let me go back and say how I did it. You know,
okay.
So I thought I was doing everything right. For the most part, it was. You know, I went on the site and actually, like I said, I called the hotels and talked to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the hotel we used, major chain, they said, you know, it was just upgraded. You know, it was nice.
Sure.
And not too far from the from where we're going to, you know, 15-minute walk,
yeah.
you know. And we thought, well, this is fine.
Because we like to walk. We like to walk everywhere.
Right.
But then when we got there
we
to
got
Scotland.
We got there, and I'm going to let Amy say
okay.
That.
So what happened is that we got there, and as the cab was taking us to the hotel, I thought, wow, this is a small little place. And then
there being
in Edinburgh, it was,
okay.
It was, do we name it?
Yeah,
it was
a Marriott.
Okay, yeah. And so anyway, we got our hotel room, and when we walked in, it was like one of those, it was a residence inn, and so it had a kitchen, which we thought that was great. But when we got in there, it was so tiny. And we lay down on the bed, because we were going to take a nap before we went out to Fringe Fest.
Uh-huh.
We lay down on the bed, and if he moved the slightest, I moved too, because it was almost like you're on a waterbed. That thing moved so much. And so I said to him, we're not going to stay here for 3 days. This is not going to work. So we upgraded to...
So, I mean, we were very, very fortunate. We upgraded over to a Sheraton.
Yeah.
And the people, honestly, the people at the Marriott, because the way we booked it, they said they didn't charge us a penny.
Yeah, it was great.
They canceled mm-hmm. it. We were out of there within an hour. Within 5 minutes, we were over to a better hotel. I mean, 5-star, beautiful,
yeah.
walking distance from Royal Mile.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. So that was
yeah.
just one of the decisions that it's kind of like, you know how you book something and you, especially for a hotel, you kind of hope for the best.
Yes, been there, done that.
Yeah.
Yeah, another reason to use you guys.
Yeah. Exactly.
You guys, all, like you say, you like to walk.
Yeah.
And in the past, you also do a lot of trains. Now, did you do the same thing or did you do something different?
We originally tried to take a train from London up to Edinburgh, but because of the timing, and we originally had two cities and then we added in a third. So we didn't make that. We wanted to, you know, just get there as soon as we could and have as much time in the city.
But this time what we want to do, seriously, Mark, what we want to do, and maybe you can kind of help us shape and finesse this trip, what we want to do, because neither one of us has been to the Grand Canyon. I have not been to some of the things that Stuart has seen through California or through the nation, because you've driven across the nation how many times?
Five times.
Yeah, five times. Crazy man. Anyway, I've never done it. And so I know there are a lot of sites that I have not seen. And so we kind of want to go to places where we can take our mountain bikes and ride and go and visit. So I don't know, Mark, what do you think?
You're going to go down to the Grand Canyon, and you're going to visit an area called Sedona and Oak Creek Canyon, which is just south of Grand Canyon by about 3 hours in central Arizona there. And you're going to find all kinds of multicolored cliffs and things like that in the whole Sedona area. The Sedona area would be very, very much an Amy and Stuart area, I would think.
Okay.
If you have the time, I would spend probably a week.
Yeah.
Because there is a lot to see and do. There's a lot of good restaurants around Sedona. It's a very scenic area. They have Jeep tours that go up into the backcountry and stuff that are kind of fun. But there are a lot of, you're saying, you know, you want to be able to walk and ride your bike and stuff like that. So there are lots of areas like that. And Grand Canyon is a fairly flat national park, of course, until you get to the edge of the canyon.
Yeah. And then it's it kind of drops off.
Yeah, that last step there's a bit of a drop. But the other areas around the canyon are basically pretty flat. So they are good areas for walking and biking and things like that. You have a little bit of altitude there, but other than that.
With all of the terrorism and things that have been in the headlines, you guys visited a lot of different places. You were on the go a lot. At any point in time, did you feel unsafe, or did you ever at any point in time stop and think about those issues along the way?
Okay, let me tell you this, and I'll do New York, you can do Paris. I'll do New York first.
Yeah, we have two different looks at this.
Okay, because from my vantage point, when we went to New York in the spring, we did not see, and again, Times Square, Manhattan, that basic borough there down to the water in the financial district, you know, where 9/11, the memorials are, we didn't see a lot of law enforcement, not a lot, like not so much so that you saw them every turn you made. But when we went this time around, which was in August, the first part of August, we saw a lot of armed officers throughout the entire Times Square area, Manhattan as well. I mean, we would walk all the way down toward the financial district, and off and on throughout the entire walk down, say, Broadway and a couple of other major streets, there were a lot of armed officers with a very clear presence.
Yeah, they were very present. And they also put up a lot of barriers on a sidewalk so couldn't be.
Because there had just been somebody who had driven their car, you know, onto traffic in Times Square and killed a woman. So, it was very
now,
visible.
Now, head over to Scotland. This is a huge festival.
Hundreds of thousands of people.
And we looked, and I promise you, we saw maybe five security officers in their car.
Yeah.
And then we go over to Paris, and, you know, there was a good number.
A lot, with their AR, I think it was AR-15s. Their long rifles,
Well, with that being said, what made you feel better? Seeing a lot of presence of law enforcement, to knowing that they're close by and they're keeping an eye on things, or a place that where they're few and far between, like that's a safer. Which one were you most comfortable with?
I will tell you this: that whenever we travel, ever since 9/11, Stuart has always said to me, "We just have to have our eyes out. You have to always think." And I'm a fairly conscientious person about that anyway, because I've been in the news business for my entire professional career. We have three daughters, and so they hear from their mom all the time. You have to be careful, know your area, you know. And so he's always said to me, you just have to be conscious of what is around you. So whether we had law enforcement there or they weren't there, I think we were still keeping an eye out for it. But I think I felt a little bit better seeing law enforcement there. If there was somebody who was going to make some, you know, forward attack, there would be somebody there who could stop them other than, you know, us just running away.
Okay, before we wrap up, top two things in your European vacation that you would recommend people avoid. Stay away from, don't do this.
I will tell you this, that if you go to Paris and you don't like cigarette smoke, that's tough. Because they smoke in Paris, they smoke inside the restaurants, they smoke outside on the streets and the restaurants there. You know, if you want to sit at a beautiful little shop at a table on the sidewalk and enjoy Paris, you're going to also have to enjoy, or at least, you know, take into consideration there's a lot of cigarette smoke.
The main thing that I think was beneficial to us this time were all the apps on our phones.
Yes.
From the airline apps to the Waze to cabs or to everything. It was so easy to change something and do something.
And to talk with the kids, WhatsApp, that app is incredible.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you guys so much for spending a little bit of time with the Travel Guys. When you hit that Route 66 or the Lincoln Highway with Sports Leisure Vacations and Mark, we'll talk again. Okay?
We're definitely using Mark next time.
Thank you, Amy and Stuart. We really appreciate you guys coming in, and it's wonderful to have animated people who can talk about on the road, but it's also great to talk about things that, you know, went well and things that didn't go so well, because that's kind of why we're here, is to make people smarter travelers, so we can learn from your successes and from your mistakes.
Well, just to let you know, it's not hard to tell. We love spending time with you guys, too.
Well, I have to say that Amy Lewis certainly knows how to make the Travel Guys feel good. We appreciate it a bunch. Tom and Mark with you. We are the Travel Guys, and coming up after the break, we're going to check in with our favorite tree hugger sports leisure vacations tour guide, Ramona Gooch, as we head to British Columbia. It's the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And you can follow along with the Travel Guys, as we mention from time to time, at travelguysradio.com. And Mark, who's our special guest this time on the Travel Guys?
Well, our special guest is one of our road reporters, Ramona Gooch, who is known around Sports Leisure Vacations as a tree hugger. She's the lady who likes to go out into the wilderness and head off, and usually she comes home and fairly close to schedule, but it just depends on what she finds. Ramona, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Tom.
Hi there, Ramona. Who's your hero as a tree hugger?
John Muir. Is there any other?
Okay. I was expecting something like that. That's why I asked.
Tom, one of Ramona's favorite destinations is the province of British Columbia.
Uh-huh.
And she has found more ways to explore British Columbia than, and by the way, a great choice, because I'm a Pacific Northwest guy, so British Columbia is just kind of an extension. I think I kind of took over Oregon and Washington, so Ramona moved to British Columbia, so to speak. But she has come up with some great places to visit up there. Ramona, you've just come back from a British Columbia adventure. You're about to take another one, and I see from the Sports Leisure Vacations catalog that you have a couple on tap for next year. So give us a little bit of a rundown with a chance to jump in and ask you some questions.
Well, we did indeed just get back from the interior of British Columbia. You know, most of the time when I mention British Columbia, people say, oh, yes, I've been to Victoria, and I try to tell people that saying you've been to Victoria and thinking that you've been to British Columbia is like saying you've been to Anaheim and you've seen California. You know, British Columbia is a huge province, and as a matter of fact, for the Sacramento listeners, if they put this in perspective, the number of people in the greater Sacramento area, that's how many people are out there in British Columbia once you get out of side of Victoria and Vancouver. So we're talking about 2 million people spread over a province that is 1.5 times the size of Texas.
And has a huge desert in the middle of it. A lot of people don't know that British Columbia has a fairly desert-like landscape in the middle of the province.
Well, we just traveled down Highway 97. We started out in Prince George, and we worked our way down through that interior, through the high desert. And, you know, the folks that I was traveling with, they commented a couple of times, this looks like Bishop, or this looks like Bridgeport. So it's very similar to our Eastern Sierra. The Caribou Mountains on one side of you, the Coast Mountains, the Chilcotin Mountains on the other side. Beautiful, beautiful countryside. And they've been hit really hard with forest fires up there this year. And even though we were traveling down Highway 97, the main north-south route, businesses were open. People were happy to see us.
Ramona, you have another
adventure in British Columbia coming up in just a couple of weeks that I know that you're going to also offer next year. It has to do with going up and getting up close and personal with bears, which might appeal to a segment of the crowd that probably wouldn't include me.
We just talked about the Great Interior. Out on the coast, it's a rainforest. It's called the Great Bear Rainforest. It's up near Prince Rupert, down all along the coastline to about 100 miles or so above the city of Vancouver. Along that mainland, there are these incredible floating lodges. These lodges are floating in these nice, peaceful little inlets. I'm going up there. As a matter of fact, I'm leaving on Wednesday to go to Knights Inlet. Incredible opportunity to fly in on a float plane, come in, land in one of these nice, quiet little inlets, and spend 3 or 4 days watching the big grizzlies snack on salmon as they fatten up for winter.
Now, when you say a floating lodge, you know, I'm envisioning something that's literally on the water, floating independently. Now, is that what we're talking about here?
Well, it's tethered to the land. What happens is the mountains, you've got these beautiful little inlets and coves, and the mountains just go straight up. So there's no place to build.
Mm-hmm.
British Columbia has found that they can have these lodges that are floating. They're far more ecologically stable and manageable. They're not cutting down the forests. And yet, you are floating. So every time you step off the every time you step out of your hotel room, you put a vest on.
Wow.
Wow. Ramona, you have another part of British Columbia that you explore that's just over the border from Idaho and possibly Montana. It's an area that probably most folks haven't heard of. It's known as the Selkirk Loop. Tell us a little bit about that part of British Columbia.
So about 10, 12 years ago, there was a joint effort between Idaho, Washington, and British Columbia to create an international drive, and it became known as the Selkirk. And it is the Selkirk Loops. It's 165 miles, and it follows the Kootenai River. And it is one of the most relaxing trips. I've taken people there now for close to 10 years, and everybody comes home and says, it is so peaceful. You can stay in Bonner's Ferry and wake up on the Kootenai River to the sound of the geese. Then you go on up Kootenai Lake, which is so big you have to take a ferry across it. It's part of the BC Highway, actually, to travel on the ferry. And then you end up in Nelson, which is just a sweet little college town surrounded by these mountains. Nicest people you've ever met up there. And folks can go online. They can just Google Selkirk Loop, and they'll get all the routing information that they need. And I highly recommend it. It's a great drive. Take it in about 5 days.
Well, we will put a link to the Selkirk Loop at TravelGuysRadio.com, just so that if folks are driving around and that sounds interesting to you, you can take a peek. Ramona, before we let you go, if folks are thinking about a vacation in British Columbia, you mentioned Vancouver, of course, and Victoria, which are not places that you explore a lot. They're places that Sports Leisure Vacations visits on a pretty regular basis. But you tend to go out a little bit more in the wilderness. But I think that what that tells you is that British Columbia really has something for just about every type of traveler.
It does. This last trip that we were on, we stayed at Echo Valley Ranch. Another great place that I think some of your listeners would really enjoy. And you might want to look at that link too. It was an hour out on a dirt road, opened up into this beautiful, incredible valley. We stayed at this, what in the old days we would have called a guest ranch. It was like staying at someone's home. We were greeted by the owners. We were greeted by their dogs, their cats. They even have a pig that they take out for a walk every morning. So it was a hoot there. But I think, I mean, we had such a good time there.
Well, Ramona, thank you. It's British Columbia. I just have to say, for folks who are listening here, if you haven't traveled north, or if you've traveled to Oregon and Washington and you think that's a really beautiful country, Ramona hasn't even talked about one of my favorite places in British Columbia, which is a little town called Tofino, which is over on the West Coast. And there wasn't even a road to get there until about 40 years ago. So it is a bit isolated, but also a very beautiful place on Vancouver Island. If you're going to Victoria and you're looking for some place that's a little bit off the beaten track, I would suggest to you that Tofino is probably as much off the beaten track as some of the places that Ramona has been suggesting here. Ramona, thank you for all of your wisdom. Have a great time up with the Bears. Don't get eaten alive. Because we need you to do that next year when it comes up again. So if you're interested in traveling with Ramona, you can go to travelguysradio.com and we'll have some links, or the Sports Leisure website at sportsleisure.com also has links to a lot of the trips that she's been talking about.
Well, there you go. Ramona, thanks for joining us. We are the Travel Guys, here to make you a smarter traveler. Once again, follow along at travelguysradio.com.
That about does it for this week's program. Next week, we're going to take you up to Long Beach, Washington. Maybe someplace that you've never even heard of. Remember, dance like nobody's watching. Thank you, Tom. We'll see you all next week on The Travel Guys.
Stay well, my friends. See you next time.